This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
Ottawa, let's spend some time in the box on TSN 1200, recapping yesterday and giving you a head start on today.
Down low, a couple of chances and a goal. The Tkachuk family continues to dominate. Brady has a goal to go with a couple of assists. Matthew Tkachuk ahead of the group. Hat-trick bid. There's Dad Keith. But he wanted to have Hughes on the line with Ovechkin, and there they are. Ovechkin and Crosby.
Ovechkin comes right back as Crosby lifts that lead stick. Tic-tac-toe.
And Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, and others saying, you know what, Eli? Congrats on beating the hell out of Peyton Manning.
Scotty Barnes drives into the paint, bobbled it, got it back, and floats it in. He's given the Raptors the lead with 20.7 seconds to play, and he barks like a dog down in Memphis.
Now with Chris Stevenson, here's Graham Creech.
Good morning and welcome to In the Box here on TSN 1200. Loaded show today with guests, Dave Cameron at 11:05, Eric Macromella at noon, Ian Mendez at 12:40, and the weapon, Cord Wilson, at 1 o'clock. Got to start by saying hello to my man, Chris Stevenson. CJ, good morning. How are you?
Hello. I'm great.
Yeah?
How are you?
I've got some good energy. Just went and visited with the newsroom, and it's the busiest I've seen it in a long time.
Yeah.
Lots of bodies in the newsroom. Just stirring things up in there. And talking to JR right before on the crossover about the Super Bowl and his Eagles. Got some good energy going.
I'm looking forward to this Super Bowl.
Me too. Big time.
Like, it's a lot of times the teams aren't so evenly matched, and a lot of times you can't say that, well, at least arguably, they're the best teams from each conference. And the NFL gets it right. The NFL gets it right. I mean, usually there's the really good vibe going into the game. This is basically a pick'em, right? And it started off, didn't it start off? KC was favored. All kinds of Philly money went to the Eagles. Now the Eagles are, favored.
Yeah, 1.5 at last time I checked.
Yeah, might even be lower than that now. So it's a great matchup. And when you're torn in terms of who you think's going to win, that's the perfect situation, right? That's going to make you tune in, especially if you might have a little bit something riding on the game, even if it's just one of the Super Bowl grids where you buy a box and
that's my favorite thing to do.
Buy a box and they fill in the numbers just before kickoff and you're off and running.
We'll get into that in a moment. Got to say good morning first to Cam Clement, who's producing today. Kenny had the 3-3 on the road and a big far road trip, 3-3, three W's for the 67s, Flint, Saginaw, Sarnia. Kenny will be back tomorrow, but today it's Cam Clement. Cammer worked those games on the weekend. How are you doing, Cam?
I'm doing well. Also having positive vibes coming off couple 67s wins, 3-3 weekend. Excited to hear Dave Cameron at 11 get his thoughts on the roadie. But yeah, excited to be in with you guys.
Nice. CJ, just to, back to the gambling talk there for a second. And we do the squares as well. That's my favorite thing. Me and my group of friends get together every Super Bowl, and that's my favorite thing, I think, to put money on is the squares. And it's totally random, and you're rooting for certain scores.
Because now you're getting into the projecting all the time, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now I need this team to get a field goal.
Yeah, it's...
Please, I need a safety.
But you always get some random number, too. It's like, yes, that's never going to be a score, but
right,
then it is something that plays out that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Do you get into much of the props or anything like that? Like
no,
the length
not
of the
really.
Or
there was only one
Gatorade
time.
Baths.
No, there was one time. I love all that stuff, though. That's one of the, kind of like one of the traditions that sprung up around the Super Bowl is I love all that talk, and maybe we'll get into it a little bit on Friday. I think we're back together again on Friday at the rink. And maybe we can get into that a little bit. I love all those prop bets and this and the outlandish ones that they come up with. So maybe we can talk about that a little bit. Length of the anthem, all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Definitely wanted to touch on, like, we're going to touch on a bunch today. Sens, 67s, a little bit of everything with Macromella, Super Bowl, all that kind of stuff. Ottawa Rough Riders chat, we'll get into that, as you have some ties to some unfortunate news, I guess, this weekend. I love going down memory lane with you, whether it's Senators, Rough Riders, 67s, whatever, so we'll get into that kind of thing. But when I saw the news at 10:38 p.m. Thursday night, obviously lots of things going through my head. Getting a lot of group chats, speculating and digging and talking about things in the current state. One of the guys I thought of first was Chris Stevenson. Is he on the radio on Friday? No, he wasn't. So we're obviously not going to spend 4 hours like we kind of did on Friday. But just like your thoughts on what's going through your mind since you saw the news that the Senators fired Troy Mann.
I think, like, you know, most people wondering what the real story is. There's been all kinds of speculation on the surface of it and talking to people around the league. They look at the kids that have come out of Belleville and everybody's been pretty impressed with the Senators' development. And it's a shared responsibility, right? So I don't know if you can always completely give the credit to one individual or the blame to one individual when players develop or don't develop. But I would say for the most part, I've been impressed with the players that have come out of Belleville. And it feels like they've been handled well when you think about the, you know, Nick Paul and the player that he's become, Drake Batherson, Norris, go down the list of the guys who have come through Belleville and wound up with the Senators. For the most part, you'd say they are where they should be. And those other players who maybe you had higher expectations for who haven't been able to deliver, the Jacob Bernard Dockers or Lassie Thompson or whatever, well, they were taken later on in that first round, and maybe it's just a case of they're the players that they are. So, you know, that's the first thing is like, well, as an American Hockey League coach, has he done his job? And I feel like the answer to that is yes. Interesting to see longtime Belleville broadcaster Jack Miller weigh in too and document the number of player transactions that the team has had, the number of goaltenders they've gone through. Man, they've been using like 5-6 goaltenders a year down there.
I think it's 5 this year, and I always mix up the 2 previous years, but the numbers are 7 and 8.
Yeah.
So I think it was 7 last year, 8 the year before, or those numbers could be flipped, but yeah. That's how many.
Yeah. So, you know, Jack's saying, like, here's a franchise that went through, like, 200 player transactions a year. So just based on all of that, has Troy Mann done his job? I would say yes. There's no questioning his record before getting to Belleville. Massive success in Hershey. And then all the other stuff about the sharing of scouting information or whatever. To me, that's one of those kind of gray areas when it comes to coaches. And I was saying to you before we came on the air, I mean, so much of being a general manager and so much of coaching in the National Hockey League or in any league for that matter is having a network of people in other organizations that you trust. We see it over and over. I mean, coaches bring other coaches with them, right? General managers have guys that they trust and they bring them with them when they get an opportunity to have a job with another organization. So everybody's got their networks. And if you don't think coaches are talking all the time and sharing information and talking about what other teams are doing, what their team is doing, I'll tell you a story. I mean, I can remember talking to Paul McLean. And Paul McLean said, you know, Mike Babcock was always on the phone talking about what the Wings were doing with their PK or with their power play, talking to other coaches, swapping information. And Paul McLean said to Babcock at one point, why do you do that? Like, why are you telling them what we're doing, sharing information? And Babcock was just like, that's how you learn. Like, it's that give and take of figuring out other people's viewpoint, other people's philosophies, other people's way of thinking. So to me, coaches and general managers are always talking to people in other organizations about what's going on. I know for a fact, coaches who will be going into a playoff series against an opponent, if they've got a buddy who coaches a team that's just played that team, they will be talking and sharing all kinds of information about matchups and what another team tries to do and what's going on. So I can't speak to the specific allegation. It feels like it's one of those things, if you wanted to make a big case out of it, you could. But to me, it goes on all the time, even about what's going on. Like I said, everybody's got their close friends. They talk about what's going on in their organization. It's just like any other kind of business. So I can't address that specifically. I think it's the timing is curious. I think given the way the players have been developed in Belleville, I think it's curious. And as is in the case of almost all these things, ultimately the story will probably come out. It might take a while, but shocked would be the best way to describe my reaction when I saw the news right after a win, where the team's been racked with injuries and call ups. They've been competitive night after night. I watch almost all the games. And for them to come up with a win and then have that news come down right before the All-Star break, at whatever it was, almost 11 o'clock at night, was like I said, shocked would be the best word to describe my reaction to seeing that news.
Well, you weren't the only one for sure. And maybe we'll get into it a little bit later on in the show. Give Ian Mendez an opportunity to weigh in on it. But again, not going to spend the entire show. Just wanted to give you a chance to weigh in, because I know we were talking.
Yeah, I'm sorry I can't like add a tremendous another layer to it. I have my thoughts and other ideas that I've gleaned from some people that I've spoken to, but not really in a position to betray those confidences. Let's put it that way. And the story will come out.
We will take a break, and maybe on the other side we get in a little bit to the All-Star weekends that happen with the NHL and the NFL. Did you spend any time whatsoever on those? And
yeah, I watched all of the NHL stuff.
Really?
Yeah, I watched all pretty much. I'm not going to say absolutely dialed in. I was going back and forth between that and the golf, but I watched most of the skills, and I watched a good chunk of the games.
Nice. Okay, that's good stuff. You'll have a good base to get to, because I didn't watch much. We'll get into that on the other side, and that'll morph into our web poll question of the day, brought to you by the Tool and Equipment Store. Talk some playoff format and much more. Again, Dave Cameron coming up at 11, Eric Macromella at noon, Ian Mendez at 12:40, and Ward Wilson at 1. You're listening to In the Box here on TSN 1200. Welcome back to In the Box here on TSN 1200. Graham Creech, Chris Stevenson, and Cam Clement, your lineup today. As Stephen Joe Lloyd enjoying some sun, definitely received like 8 images from Lloydy yesterday as he's rubbing it in.
Well, I know working with Lloydy, he might have mentioned that he might have been getting trolled by somebody who was in Mexico.
I think I sent one picture over the course of 1 week.
So what goes around is we might be in the what goes around comes around department
fair.
Today.
That's fair. Even though I was in his neck of the woods yesterday, recording a podcast right near Mr. Lloyd as he was joining. As I was doing that, I received a few pictures of the pool bar. And I think he's got like a hot tub on his balcony.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Nice. Not bad. Not a bad setup. And during the week where there's no NFL and no NHL.
Yeah.
Good thinking by Steve Lloyd. All right. There was NHL and NFL All-Star related stuff over this past weekend, beginning with the NHL skills competition and an All-Star game. I'll just start by saying I didn't watch pretty much any of it. I've seen some highlights. Friday evening was out at dinner and then had my own hockey. So after we played, went up to the club and there was like a replay of some of the events going on that I watched and saw some stuff on Twitter. The game itself was busy at a one-year-old birthday party. So didn't check out any of it. Nothing.
Yeah.
And I, like, even if I didn't have those two things kind of planned, I probably would have checked in a little bit more, but it wasn't on my radar. I'm not going to sit here and trash the All-Star game. I think, in my opinion, it's designed for kids and younger fans. I know that I was obsessed with the All-Star game growing up when I was 10 or 12 or whatever. One of my favorite things to do was watch the All-Star game. And I'm sure if 10 and 12-year-olds would love to watch guys like Zegras and others do these insane moves. So I'm not going to take away from that. But I personally have no interest in watching it. Even from following the Senators' perspective, I guess there'd be a little bit with Brady and Matthew there, but not very high on my radar. But you said you took most of it in.
Yeah, I watched.
Lots of people I saw complaining. What would be your takeaway?
To me, there's not really any point. I just saw that tweet from JR, which is made me laugh. The Ivory Tower tweeted, "It's become apparent after this weekend that hockey fans aren't happy unless they're miserable." which feels like it's true. I replied to him, "So we've all become Canucks fans." Because that always seems like Vancouver Canucks fans, right?
When they're in first place, they're complaining about something.
Right. Exactly. So let's take a look at it. From the NHL standpoint, what are your goals, I guess. The All-Star Weekend. Number one, I've been to more than I can count over the years. It's
All-Star games?
Yeah. Party after party. It's a big schmooze fest for the NHL and its corporate clients. Bunch of gatherings to bring players and corporate clients, people from the league together. So that's the number one thing, and that's the thing that we don't see. So from the league's standpoint, that gets accomplished every year, but it's nothing that we see as fans or media on the outside. So that accomplishes a big goal for the NHL, which is keeping your corporate clients happy. Leave them wanting to come back, because a whole bunch of those corporate people are like, "Oh, we had a great time at the, we had a great time at the All-Star game in Florida. We had our party. We had a couple of beers with, these players." So they come away happy, keeps the tap turned on in terms of the corporate dollars for the league. Most of what the All-Star game accomplishes takes place away from the cameras and all the stuff that we see. And the rest of it, I think, is let's put as little pressure on the players as we can. Let's face it, their teammates have all taken off and are on vacations at that point.
Yeah, they're seeing Instagram videos of guys on the beach.
Right.
And, yeah.
So for the stars of the game
this year, but
It's ridiculous to expect them to go out there and beat each other's brains out in some kind of game when their teammates are all sitting on beaches or have gone snowmobiling or ice fishing. Because there used to be a good contingent of the Senators in the early days. I remember you know, Chris Phillips and Alfie, if I remember right. I mean, they would organize these massive, like, snowmobiling getaways.
Well, I think Jake Sanderson went back home rather than
yeah. So there's that. You're not going to see, the players being taxed in any way. And what they have them do now is perfect. No contact in the 3-on-3 game. It's just shinny. Everybody's out there wheeling. So, you know, that meets that goal. You know, I think where the disconnect comes is the fans are used to watching NHL hockey and used to watching the Stars. And this doesn't resemble anything like NHL hockey. Well, it's never going to for the reasons I just outlined. So to watch it and keep going like, how can we make the All-Star game more interesting? I don't think the NHL's interested in making the All-Star game more interesting. It achieves the goals that the NHL wants to achieve. And that's all the behind-the-scenes schmoozing and everything else that goes on. So I don't think we're going to see changes to the All-Star game. It's kind of disappointing, like when you have players, you know, bow out of the home run derby at the baseball All-Star game, you know, that Connor McDavid's like, hey, I've done the skating thing. I want to do something else. And again, can you blame the guy? He's there basically doing the league a service by showing up. Remember how they had to institute the rule? Guys bailing would mm-hmm. be suspended for a game when they came back. And I think Ovechkin actually had to serve one of those suspensions. So it's a difficult thing to walk that tightrope between what the league wants out of All-Star Weekend and what fans expect out of it. I think the good thing that comes out of it, and the players have been fantastic about this, is putting themselves out there, like during the skills thing, breakaway challenge or whatever, when they try and come up with some different scenarios that are going to give everybody a laugh. But they're there without their helmets on. They're doing all the interviews. They're as lame as you think some of their stuff might be, and a lot of it is very, very cringeworthy, and that's part of the reason I watch, is just for the cringe factor, to watch some of this stuff and just be like, oh, man, who thought this was going to be a funny or that this was going to be a good idea? But the fact that they've got all those players, no helmets on, joking around, some there with their kids, I mean, it really gives them another, I'm not going to say humanize them, we know when they're all humans, it gives us like another side of the players. So I think that accomplishes a goal too, in terms of having them there without their helmets on. People can kind of see the players. Maybe get a little bit more of an appreciation for some stars from other teams that maybe you don't really like, but you see them in an interview, and many of them were very engaging and funny. So I just don't think there's much that you can do with the All-Star Weekend that's going to make it look much different than what it did this past weekend. And They keep trying to do some different things. They had the beachfront dunk thing.
I don't mind that they do that, to which is unique to each location. Where, like,
right.
For example, that one, the Vegas, the 21 and 22, the blackjack thing that they were doing.
Yeah,
I like that they're doing that. Like, it's right. For the city that's hosting it.
They did a golf thing.
Yeah, I saw that actually. I saw some highlights. And that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought.
Saucering it over
honestly,
some water.
Yeah, I thought that was actually interesting. It was a par four over water, and they had the pucks painted white so that you could see them against the grass. And the four guys, you know, fired the puck down the fairway. Then they had to, you know, they brought the boards for them to shoot off, and they got to shoot off of the board from where their drive came to rest over water.
Wouldn't you have preferred them actually play golf, though, CJ? Because, like, I know in the NFL Pro Bowl, they did a longest drive.
Yeah.
Like, surprise, surprise.
And that's not a bad one. Yeah, that's not a bad point, Red. But and I think they want to keep, like, the hockey connection. But you're right. I would rather see, like, a little a little match play thing almost, right? A little match play tournament or something. See these guys. And again, it keeps, to me, the schmoozing part of it on the corporate side is the number one goal. And we don't see any of that go on. I think the second most important thing, and whatever platform you're going to use to accomplish this, is to have those guys out there with their helmets off and see them in a little bit of a different environment so you can get a better appreciation of them as people and let their personalities shine. And
bring back the draft, Red, that's not where everyone's boozed up.
Well, how good was that? It's fantastic. Incredible. Right.
Yeah.
But it was because they were, it's not the way that we're used to seeing them. To Red's point, I think that's a great idea. Like, if, you know, to have them maybe play a little mini golf tournament that you could tape and cut down and make it into a nice little 15 minute package. But everybody would be wanting to see, hey, what's this guy's action like? What's his swing look like? You know, who's going to win? Let's hear the trash talking. Hmm. You know, the Vegas thing would have been cool to see them. I don't think they did this. Did they have they could have set up like 3 or 4 tables of 8 and have them play poker and just let them trash talk and see who's a good poker player. But I think that should be more the goal of All-Star Weekend, is just taking your high profile players and making them more accessible on different levels than what we're used to seeing during the National Hockey League season. And I think that accomplishes that to a certain extent. When we see them at the skills competition and everything else, but and I get the complaining about it. It is quite lame when you compare it. Like, look what the NFL's had to do. Unfortunately, for sports like hockey and football, you can't have an All-Star game.
Did you watch the Pro Bowl stuff there, Big Red? And if so, did you like it? I saw highlights of it and flag football and the competitions, and Derek Carr kind of stole that show. What was your impression of the NFL's All-Star Weekend?
It definitely was an appointment viewing for me. I think I saw the dodgeball like twice just on replay. I happened to be watching TV when it was on. So no, I didn't kind of make a point to watch it. I caught the end of the Pro Bowl when I got home from 67s last night. And I honestly would say the flag football is preferable to a quote-unquote tackle football game where no one wants to get hurt and everyone's just kind of lightly dropping them to the ground like a feather. So I think with flag football, it's like these guys are competitive beings, and that competitiveness took over without the fear of getting injured. So I think they put on a show, and it also helped that they were able to pack that great stadium there in Las Vegas. What's the name of that stadium again? I'm blanking on it, but it's a state-of-the-art facility. So to pack that, it was like a Super Bowl atmosphere for a flag football game. Allegiant Stadium, yes, that's it. So
I kept wanting to go to the Vegas Golden Knights one because of the UFC, T-Mobile.
Yeah. Mm.
And I was like, that's not it. Okay, good stuff there. I like that point about the bringing out the competitiveness with the flag football without worrying that you're going to –
right.
How to hit someone or whatever.
All of a sudden, it's like you're in gym class. These guys are having fun, and you kind of remove that fear. Although Myles Garrett, maybe that going forward, guys will realize that you still can, in fact, get hurt. But
I'll just read a few texts on this topic. I will say that I like that the NHL did the reverse retros for the skills. I think there's a lot of sharp ones. Like there's some awful ones, but there are some sharp ones, and especially Florida's. I love the Panthers reverse retro, and I just feel that jersey represented like the kind of vibe of the weekend with the color scheme and all that.
The Senators one's growing on me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
I don't mind it.
Not too bad as well. Seaver Sage says, I wouldn't have watched a second of it if I wasn't in a hotel for my 10-year-old tournament. The kids loved it.
Yeah.
I'll say that. Gold for U11 Rams. Woo. From Seaver Sage. Congrats.
Congratulations.
That's not another
point that I didn't consider. Is if you are pulling the kids in who you hope are going to be your future fans, then maybe that's a really good thing too, that if the kids are into it and are watching it and their fandom grows for their team and individual players because of of watching the skills competition or whatever,
well, then, the amount
then
of skill
good,
that the
then
players
that's a good, then that's a good thing.
Like the level of skill of the game's played at right now is unmatched. Yeah. Like it's insane. Fourth liners and seventh defensemen or whatever have hands and have the ability to pull off some sick moves. So when you get guys like that can really do it, like a Zegras is in the example I keep going to, but guys like that at the All-Star game, you're 12 years old, 10 years old, like Seaver's kid. You're loving that stuff.
Yeah.
This texter says, fan vote the whole All-Star game and the winners of the team skills competitions are the ones who go.
Hmm.
There's an idea because not often, like oftentimes you'll get some guy who ends up being the fastest skater or hardest shooter that wouldn't be considered an All-Star.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems to me there was a few years ago where the top people from the skills did get to go. Wasn't there? I feel like that was a thing for a little bit. That the skills was almost separate from the All-Star game itself, and that some guys who weren't technically All-Stars got to go because of the results in their own skills competitions.
All right, there are more texts on this. We can sprinkle on later on in the show.
I'm interested to know what the fans think because I just.
Maybe we'll get to them on the other side.
I don't know if this is something that the goals of the All-Star Weekend are always going to align between what the league is trying to accomplish and what fans would like to see.
Well, for a lot of people I know said, I'm not going to watch any of it. And then every time I went on Twitter, there was Sens fans that I followed weighing in on what's going on. So.
I think there are a lot of people who like to watch it just to troll the league and complain about what's going on, and that's fine.
All right, back with more in a moment. As In the Box continues on TSN 1200. All right, quick segment here as Dave Cameron will join us on the other side. But a lot of people reacting to the All-Star Weekend. Derek has texted in, I found the All-Star Weekend mostly about silliness, trying to be funny and entertaining in a non-hockey way. I want to see hard shots, accuracy, fast skating, maybe some stick handling. Not Mitch Marner pretending to be Don Johnson. Totally hockey, not hockey. From Derek.
Yeah. And that's why I said there's a lot of cringy moments in the course of the weekend, which I think, I don't know, maybe for some people is part of the appeal. But yeah, I mean, I used to, I'm not going to say I enjoyed, it was part of work. I had to be there. I had to cover it. So
what did you do in 2012? What was your role, like work-wise?
I think I was national hockey writer at that point. So I was probably rooting around trying to find more kind of big picture hockey type topics, not necessarily related to All-Star Weekend, more related to being having access to all the biggest names in the game at the time and getting their thoughts on things like, you know, and I'm sure we'll get into this later on in the show, like Sidney Crosby saying he is more of a fan. Can't believe Sidney Crosby had an opinion on something. Good for him. But him saying that he was more a fan of the 1-8 seating for the playoffs in each conference. So that would be kind of the stuff that I would be looking for is just, you know, how do we address issues in the game? How do we find ways to make the game better? What's on the players' minds? What are the players' concerns? What's uppermost in their thoughts in terms of where the game is at and how it can be better? And that's kind of like a bit of a mindset when you have these breaks, right? It's a moment to kind of sit back and assess where the game is at and where it could be better. Apparently the NHL is just fine because every time Gary Bettman gets an opportunity to talk about what's happening in his league right now, it's there's nothing to see here, folks. Move along. Nobody tanks in this league. There's nothing wrong with the playoff format. There's no thinking of expanding the number of teams that make the playoffs. You guys are just looking for something to complain about. Is basically the message. Now your TV ratings are down 22% year over year, but everything's good.
Everything's roses. I personally, I love where the game's at in terms of the product and the skill, and I don't think it's ever been more entertaining to watch. I would, and we'll get into this maybe after the Dave Cameron interview, but I would change something about the playoff format. And I'd be open to expanding the playoffs in terms of play-in. I wasn't before. I'm a traditional 1-versus-8 guy, but to add the excitement of some fan bases, and maybe this helps the ratings. If you have three more teams that might be in it because they have a shot out of a play-in game, rather than, like, look at what was the gap last year between the final playoff team and the Islanders? I think it was 18 or 19 points.
Mm-hmm.
There was no race. It was just positioning.
Yeah.
So you get an extra slot or two in there, then adds for probably more ratings. You're paying attention to the teams more.
That's a good point, because I think what we have now is so much parity in the league. And maybe it wasn't the case last year so much because there were so many teams that were just so bad in the Eastern Conference. And all of these things are cyclical. And, you know, there was a time where I thought, no, you shouldn't have play-in games or whatever. But now when you look at it and you look at this year's race for the wild card spots, I mean, it's going to come down to 2 or 3 points probably between three teams, with one being in and two out. I don't have a problem with there being some kind of play-in. Like, part of what you need to do with your sport, in my opinion, and, you know, haven't covered the league for 30 plus years, I've pretty much seen it all, but it's often a case of what's old is new again. You know, they went back to divisional play. Well, when I was a kid growing up watching the game, it was all divisional play and there were no wild cards or whatever. It was the top four teams in each division made the playoffs. 1 versus 4, 2 versus 3. Those two winners played, and you got a winner from the division. You played the other winner in the division in your conference. Whoever won that went to the Stanley Cup final. Cut and dried. So we've seen divisional play before, mm-hmm. and then they went to the, you know, 1 versus 1 versus 8 conference-based playoffs. So it's all been done. It's all been done. And to me, it's just like kind of trying to, you go back to an old system because it's been 25 years since you did it. And for a whole new generation of your fans, this is something new for them. Here's a new format. Well, it's not new. It's been done before. So I think part of running a professional sports league and trying to remain relevant and engage your fans and bring in more fans is to keep trying to find ways to introduce some novel concepts. And I think the time has come for a play-in in the National Hockey League. Part of it's because of the salary cap era where the teams are so closely matched.
Everyone except for Boston.
This year.
Yeah. Oh yeah. This is
so
unique season.
I know,
for
and
sure.
It's, so that, and that's part of it for me too. Is you need to avoid the knee jerk reaction to what happens in one season.
Yeah.
Now, if you see something emerge as a trend over a period of 5 or 6 years, then maybe you need to address it. Like, and this year is a little bit different. So that's the other thing I would say, is avoid the knee jerk reaction to a one off. But parity in the league is not a one-off. And opening up the playoff system so that ultimately you arrive with 16 teams. Ultimately, when your playoffs really begin, you've got 16. But opening the door to allow there to be a little bit more competition for other teams to play their way in and become
like
one
in the
of
NBA.
Those 16, yeah. Like, to me, that's part of what you need to do as the National Hockey League is give something new to your fans every now and then. And sometimes it's an old idea that's just been recycled and has come back. But most people, except old dudes like myself, won't remember that being a thing. And this will be like a new concept for a new generation of fans. But you need to spice it up every now and then. We've had 16 out of, 16 teams have been making the playoffs for, I don't even know how long. I remember 16 out of 21 used to make it. Think about that.
Yeah.
16 teams out of 21 made the playoffs.
All right, we'll take a break and we'll get into the web pool question a little bit later in the 11 o'clock hour. But 67's head coach Dave Cameron joins us next to talk about a successful 3-3 road trip as In the Box continues on TSN 1200.